Thank you for downloading the Wednesday in the Word podcast. I'm Krissan Murata. Today we're going to look at Acts 16 and explore the question, why would Paul baptize an entire household? We won't be looking at everything in the chapter, but rather we're going to focus on that one question. You can follow along with the lecture notes and find links to everything mentioned in the talk by going to our website. Go to WednesdayInTheWord.com/Acts16, so that's Acts 1-6, baptism. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we're looking at Acts 16 today, and we're going to explore the question raised by this chapter, why would Paul baptize an entire household? In this chapter, Luke records the conversion of two locals, a wealthy merchant named Lydia and the Philippian jailer. And Luke tells us that Paul baptized their whole households, and the question we want to explore is why. Paul made three major missionary journeys. It was on his second journey, which is recorded in Acts 16, that Paul first visited the Macedonian town of Philippi. Typically, when Paul entered a new city, he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and proclaim the gospel there. Since they don't go to the synagogue, we can presume there wasn't one. The law at the time required a city to have at least 10 Jewish men who were heads of household to form a synagogue. Presumably, there weren't even 10 devout Jewish families in town. Instead, there's a meeting place by the river where some women are having a prayer meeting. We're going to pick up the story in Acts 16, starting in verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went outside to the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her entire household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So that's what we learn about Lydia's conversion and the baptism of her household. Skip down to Acts 16:19 to pick up the story of the jailer's conversion. At this point, Paul has been arrested and beaten and thrown in jail for undermining the Roman way of life by preaching the gospel. And during the night, there's an earthquake. The doors of the jail are opened and their chains are broken. And when the jailer realizes none of the prisoners took advantage of this situation to escape and they're all still inside, he rushes inside to Paul's cell. So I'm going to start reading in Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up to his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So speaking of Lydia, in Acts 16:15, it says, "And after she was baptized and her household as well." And then speaking of the jailer in Acts 16:33, it says, "And he was baptized at once, he and all his family." So what's going on here? Well, many churches from many denominations practice baptizing their infants as a sign of the covenant. And this chapter, Acts 16, is one of the places they use to support that practice. Now, I'm not going to settle that issue. In fact, I'm not even going to discuss the issue of infant baptism. If you're interested in that, John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul debated the issue, and I'll put a link to that debate in the lecture notes. It is a great debate. I highly recommend it because both men take the Bible seriously, they take the issue seriously, and they take each other seriously. And it's one of the best discussions on the issue that I've ever seen. They deal with scripture, they deal with the issue, and you learn a lot from both sides. So let's look at Acts 16 and ask the question, what clues do we have that might help us figure out what's going on here? So from a Bible study standpoint, not trying to do application or theology at this point, but what clues do we have in the text to help us figure out what's going on? So the first thing we should note is this is the first time in Acts that baptizing an entire household is mentioned. And then we see it twice in the same city in the same chapter. So that's striking. You would think that if baptizing the entire household was Paul's common practice prior to coming to Philippi, then it would be mentioned before this point in one of his journeys or in one of the towns. So the fact that this is the first time it's mentioned would suggest that maybe this is something unusual that's going on. Yet the other side might argue you could notice that it's mentioned twice here, suggesting that it might have, in fact, been a common practice because here, when we see it happening more than once. So that's interesting, but that alone is not going to solve the issue. So the second thing we need to ask is who made the decision to do the baptizing? If we knew the answer to that, that would really answer a lot of our questions. But the fact of the matter is we don't know, we have to guess. Well, there are three possibilities. The first one is that Paul could have made the decision. Paul could have told Lydia and the jailer, look, now that you've come to faith, you need to baptize your entire households. And if that were the case, that would add a lot of weight to, say, the infant baptism camp, because here you'd have an apostle saying, this is a practice you should practice. Now, we obviously need to go on and ask for what reason he would have suggested that, and so on. However, there's no evidence that Paul made such a request. And I would argue, given his other writings, that it is unlikely that Paul made such a request. I'm thinking particularly of his discussion on circumcision and how and why he circumcised Timothy. It just doesn't seem likely that he would argue for baptizing an entire household given those other discussions. So the second possibility is that Lydia and the jailer, as heads of the household, gave this command that everyone in their household be baptized. Now that kind of request fits with what we know of the culture at the time, because the head of the household set the religion of the household. So when children were born into the household or adopted into the household, or when slaves came into the household, they were required to adopt the religion of the household. So the head of the household could and did dictate what religion would be practiced in the household. As an aside, that's why Peter, I think, part of the reason why Peter addresses believing wives of unbelieving husbands in 1 Peter 3. Because believing wives were in this difficult position of going against the religion of the household. And they had a kind of difficult and delicate line to walk. So while I think it's more probable that Lydia and the jailer could have made this request, given the culture, I have a hard time believing that the Apostle Paul would go along with it and that he would carry out the baptizing. Given his other teachings, I don't think he would baptize someone who's essentially being forced into the ritual. So the third possibility is that the individuals in the household themselves asked to be baptized, so that the entire household heard Paul's teaching and proclamation of the gospel, they came to faith, and as individuals, they asked to be baptized. As unusual as that possibility seems to us, it strikes me as the most likely possibility. And we have some evidence for that position. For instance, Acts 16:34 could be translated as, in fact, the New American Standard does translate it, having believed in God with his household, suggesting that the jailer's household also came to faith. And it's clear as you study Acts 16 that God is working in Philippi through some miraculous ways, like the earthquake, the casting out of the demon of the servant girl, and so on. So it's entirely possible that he moved an entire household to faith. Now remember, we don't know how big those households were. They could have been comprised of 2 people, or they could have been 20 people. And we don't know how open or closed they were prior to Paul's visit, especially in Lydia's case, because she was a God-fearer, so she was already open to the God of the Scriptures. You could expect that her household would be similarly open because she would have had some influence on them. So whatever you think Acts 16 says or doesn't say about infant baptism, it seems to me that the reason Paul baptized the entire household was that the entire household came to faith. Thanks for joining us today on the Wednesday in the Word podcast. If you'd like more talks, you can visit our website at wednesdayintheword.com. We hope you'll join us again soon.